Oh, apparently I'm introducing people. Who is it this morning? We have Moses and we have Val. These are two, I love these people dearly. Moses, I've spent a ton of time with over the years. I've worked closely hand in hand with him. He's the one that prepared me for the pandemic. And so Moses basically handed me the executive pastor job and then left to Spokane. And then a month later, the pandemic hit. And so I called him like, what do I do? He's like, nobody knows. So Moses quickly forgot what it was like to be executive pastor, and he just embraced lead pastor, and I love it. I love this man. He lived in my home for a little while when I was a teenager, and so I've got a long-time relationship with him. And then the birds. I've spent time in their home with their family, with their boys, and Val is one of my favorite ladies. So they're going to bring the fire this morning. Amen. I don't know who's first.
Awesome. Love you too, whoever you are. Such a privilege to be here. I really do love you guys. You are my favorite tribe, and I get to be a part of you. And Tom Waters, where are you, Tom? 30 years. 30 years this year. 30 years, Tom. 30 years. Go say congratulations to Tom at some point in camp, and he was part of our lives when we were in Lethbridge, and then he was in our church family in Medicine Hat. But I remember when I was 10 years old, sitting right here. And the Holy Spirit had moved out on the world, actually, the charismatic movement. And my parents had caught that wind, and they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they started bringing us kids to this place, this sacred, hallowed ground that is soaked with the prayers of the saints and the worship and all of that. And so I was impacted by the Holy Spirit. And the next year, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit myself. Back home in Lethbridge, Keith Hazel was my pastor. And so it is just so precious to me to get to be here with you. It is such a privilege. And as I walked the trails yesterday, I thought of my parents. I thought of all the memories here. I thought of just all the talks that have happened in every sphere and area of this camp. And I just want to encourage you. You know, Ian and I have done every part of ministry of this camp with four boys. We oversaw nursery. We taught in the kids' ministry. We oversaw the 10s and 12s. We led the youth. And so we counted a privilege just to be on this ground. I really believe there's something sometimes when we're just in a place where God is, even if we don't always get to be in the meetings or whatever, leading worship up here with our boys and just all that. I miss them horribly. Wish they were here too, but maybe next year. So again, such a privilege to be here with you. And I thank you for being my family outside of family. Do you feel like you're family with this family? Does this feel like family? I love this so much. And one of the things that I've been learning a lot in this season, God's been using a particular family in Scripture to teach me so much about myself and about Him and about who He is and who He wants me to be and how He wants me to live out my life. How many of you can say who the first friends of Jesus were? Yell. Go ahead. Yell. Who are they? Pardon? His mom. Yes, that is so true. I'm going to add that to my notes. It's his mom. His mom was his greatest cheerleader. That is the truth. Well, this took me a little bit by surprise to realize that the first people referenced as the friends of Jesus were not his disciples. That didn't happen until John 15. But in John 11, who are his friends? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I know a lot, especially about Martha. I can relate to Martha. She's a doer. Sometimes she gets a bad rap because she was cranky with Jesus one day. And she was like fussing about and doing all the stuff to get ready for him because that's what she did. And she points at her sister, and many of you know the story. And Mary gets accolades from Jesus, said she's picked the better thing. She's just here with me. And that's the truth. We should do what we do out of a worshipful relationship with Jesus. So Martha, the doer, and Mary, the adorer. But there's a dude that we don't talk about a whole lot. And I was wondering about him because in the last few years, some of the stuff that's gone on in my life made me take note of him. And so some of that stuff was, in 2020, I know we've referenced COVID a whole bunch. It'll be an amazing day someday when we don't even mention COVID. Won't it be an amazing day? I kind of look forward to that day because sometimes I forget about it and then I see masks or I hear about stuff and you go, oh, shoot, right, still. Whatever. That's okay. God used it. God used it. Yes, the enemy has used it, but God always trumps the enemy, so I'm not worried about that. I think God's doing some really exciting things. But in 2020, I was knocked to my knees significantly. Some of you that know me know that when I was 19, my parents were killed in a car accident, and I'm the oldest of four. So we went through quite a journey, lots of trauma, and then there were a bunch of other things that happened in my family. Well, 2020 was kind of like that for me personally. There were some things that probably every 2 months we were getting big, bad news within our family. And I was crushed because we were isolated. There wasn't a whole lot I could do. And I was alone in my pain and my brokenness and my disillusionment, shattered dreams, things I expected. I didn't know I had the expectations that I apparently had of God. But I did, and it took me to another level of being stripped away, thank you for the Gideon word, stripped away of everything I thought I knew about how God should be in my life. If you do X, Y, and Z, the outcome should be, right? And that's what I thought. And I know it's not that simple, and I'm sort of a more mature believer now, but it was like, you know, it was like it did take me by surprise. Suffering will do that. It will do that. And I kid you not when I say I spent many days on the kitchen floor, prostrate before God, sobbing and saying, Jesus, that's all I could say. That's all I could say. So that was 2020 and COVID. And then there's 2021. 2021 started with a bang. Some of you might remember Paul Hartsook, who sat back there and did sound faithfully for 15 years for this camp. And he was killed in a tragic accident on the Deerfoot early in the year. Then we had another dear friend who was quickly diagnosed with cancer, beautiful pastor in our city, father of five. I am dear friends with his wife. They had come from South Africa to plant a church in our city, called by God to do that, and they helped us get into our building. In the hall that we are currently in, Peter Weber, a hero of the faith, one of the most beautiful men of God I've ever met. He died quickly, horribly, of cancer. And then many of you know our beloved Yvonne Cana, who died in November. So untimely deaths, things that just made no sense. And again, my heart, even though that it wasn't as close in that proximity, but still my heart was connected to all those people. And then I got diagnosed with cancer in the summer and the surgery. And then the surgery was canceled. And then the surgery was on. And then Ian brought me home, and he got COVID that day. Darn him. Like, I just like the things that man will do to get out of serving me, right? I was just like, that's what this is all about. Go to the basement. Sure, go to the basement. Isolate. No, I'm kidding. It was great. I'm sorry, honey. I've been healed. I've been healed. No, wasn't that good? That was good. I've been dying to say that. Anyway, no, it was interesting. I was just like, really, God? Really? This is interesting. Thank God Addison still lives with us. He's becoming a nursing practitioner. And he took good care of Mom and Dad. And then I get bored easy anyway. So it was like, okay, sure, let's make more meals and take them down. It was good. Ian was a trooper. And then he got better from that and then started madly recording for conference. And he was in incredible pain, and Ian has a tendency to push and minimize things sometimes. But anyway, long story short, he sprung a leak in his appendix. And so 10 days after recovering from COVID and recording everything for Conference Live, he watched Conference from the hospital because I had to take him there and they had to operate the next morning. So it was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's how that felt. And I want to say, sorry, before I keep going here, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for us. It's interesting, little quick fun fact here, that if a friend of mine who has battled a similar cancer that I had, if she said to me, she's since not walking with Jesus for a few decades now. I love her dearly, though, and we stay connected. And she said, do you realize, Val, if it wasn't for COVID and the delays of your mammogram, they wouldn't have found your cancer when they did. She said that. And when the surgeon wheeled me in, she said to me, I broke a few rules to get you in today. She whispered that to me because it was so small. And I didn't have to do chemo. I did radiation. And I have recovered. So in September, we'll have another test and we'll go from there. But thank you so much for praying for us. I really, really, really appreciate it. So God is good. Back to Lazarus. So, actually, hang on, sorry. Before that happened, so at the end of all the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, that I just said, November hit, and all of a sudden I realized that emotionally, I wasn't doing so good. And thank you, Dee Purdy, wherever you are. There you are. Dee and Joel, so grateful. Dee nailed it. I came in one day, how are you doing, Val? I said, I don't think I'm doing so good. And I've never done this in my life. That is not a commendable thing. It's just a reality thing. I had never taken time. They gave me all of November, and they said, go. Just go. Process. Be alone. Be quiet. Dee's good to recognize stuff in people. And she said, the way you're wired, you haven't had a chance, and you're probably dealing with a whole lot of stuff. And so I was able to go to my niece's place in the city. She was away with her husband. And I was able to spend time there just by myself. And at first, it was squirrely. I'm like, I didn't even know what to do with myself. And the thoughts that are swirling in my mind. And I cried a lot, and I prayed a lot, and I journaled a lot, and I watched some podcasts, and I got some wonderful counseling care from Focus on the Family Clergy Care. Thank God for those people. And God picked the right woman for me, and it helped me so, so much. But I spent hours. We had a mild winter in Calgary, and I spent hours walking in these gorgeous hills all around me and all the trails by the river. And I remember one day about 2 weeks in, all of a sudden I realized I was quiet inside. It took two to three weeks. Actually, I think it was about, second weekend, third weekend. And I was quiet. And here's what I said. It's funny how we think, right? And we don't always know how we think till we think it. And I said, Jesus, I feel so far from you. Because it was so quiet. And you know what I heard instantly? And this doesn't usually happen to me, but I heard instantly in my spirit, he said, that's because you only know how to relate to me out of anxiety. Whew, that stopped me up short. I was like, what? And he said, and he just let that sit. He got quiet again, but he just let that sit. And I thought about it. And I thought about the way I was being. I thought about the way I was leading and being a mom and being just me and what had happened to me. And I'm a thinker. I'm kind of on the deep end side of life, and I tend to not be so great at shallow and fun. I need a little more of that in my life, but I'm a deep girl. That's just how it is. But I had gotten really anxious and really fearful, and the stuff that had been going on just had really... My mind was full all the time. I couldn't sleep well. Everything Dave said, that's true. Stop it. But it was easier said than done. And God, and Dave never said it would be easy, but there are principles that are just true, right, for us. And so I had to get quiet. I had to stop. And so back to Lazarus. Now we can go back to Lazarus. So I didn't know this about him, but, well, let's go first to some more little trivia here. So what's the most famous thing Lazarus ever said in Scripture? What's that? No, he didn't. Lazarus said nothing. What can we learn about that? He was a dear friend of Jesus, and he said nothing. There's a verse that comes to mind. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. And the Lord just said that to me. He said, Val, I want you to learn just to be. Lazarus was a dear friend. When Martha went to get, when she and Mary sent that note in John 11 to Jesus, Jesus, your dear friend. Lazarus was a dear friend. He got no lines. No lines. That's how important that was. No lines. And God sometimes speaks more through the not than the, stuff. And so Jesus spoke to my heart about that. And he said, my dear friend, just was. He just was with me. Can you just be with me, Val? Can you just do that? You think that if you're not worrying, I'm not working. And that's not true. And Dave said yesterday, I was so grateful. Honestly, every message was like, Jesus. Even the first night we led worship, I don't know if you caught that because you wouldn't have. But the song said Lazarus. And I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus, right? God is always speaking. God is always working. We're not always listening. We're busy talking and telling him everything he should do or thinking about everything and worrying about everything. And he said, Val, can you just be? Can you be like Lazarus? Can you be present to my presence? A lot of the songs we sang, just present to his presence. And yet God chose Lazarus to bring glory. God chose Lazarus's life. Why not Martha? Why not Mary? Well, because then who would cook and who would worship, right? No. Why did God choose Lazarus? I don't know. But you know what? God was glorified through Lazarus's life and death and resurrection, right? So God wants you and I to learn how to be present to his presence. That's not always easy for some of us. And how do we do that? And I've had to learn to work rhythms into my life of peace and quiet and stopping and letting God be God. And what Dave said is so true about our kids and our life and everything that we worry about. And we tell God all these anxious things. And I'm learning a whole new way to pray. I don't think Christians should ever be done saying what the disciples said to him. Lord, teach us how to pray. You think you know how to pray. I think I know how to pray. There are new ways to pray. God's not boring. And part of that is listening. And sometimes we need to stop talking. Learn how to get quiet inside. Learn how to be still with God. Be present to his presence. Here's another friend of God that we know about too, and I will connect his walk with Lazarus here too. It kind of goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. In Genesis 15, God comes and he promises Abraham, he says, look at the stars. Do you see the multitude? And he said, that's going to be your legacy. I'm going to do that for you. And we know that he showed Abraham fell into a deep sleep. Now, here's a strange encouragement for parents who are worried about their kids. This is kind of twisted, but sometimes I think like that. So Abraham in Abraham 15, he's in a deep sleep, and God shows him his people. And he says to him, he says, for four generations, they're actually going to be enslaved. Would you like a word from God about your children like that? For four generations, which means Abraham's actually going to not see them be delivered. But he promised Abraham, you're going to see their deliverance. But then he says it's going to come from your own seed. And we know the story. Sarah was not able to have the child. Well, what is it? 24 years go by. Abraham is 99. God comes to him again, and actually, his name wasn't Abraham yet. It was Abram, yes? And so the Lord came to him, and he changes his name from Abram to Abraham, and he says this. Now, listen to the nuances of the words, because they matter. He says in 17, verse 5, he says, I have made you the father of nations. Have, past tense. Do you know what Lazarus means? This blew me away. In the Hebrew, Lazarus means God has helped. Past tense. Lazarus was walking out a proclamation that he would need. Abraham was called the father of nations before he was a father. I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you, in the next verse, he says, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And we know in the book of James, chapter 2, where it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then what does it say? He was called a friend of God. How much it matters to the Lord that we believe his promises before we see his promises. And for the pain and the brokenness that I went through in 2020 and 2021, and I reeled and I thought, Jesus, I feel like I know nothing. I feel like I know nothing. But there was somebody else who said that, who was pretty stinking amazing. Anyway, Paul. Paul said, I know nothing but Christ crucified. I don't know anything but Christ crucified. And that's all you need to know. That's all I need to know. So let's fast forward into the story of Lazarus a little bit. We know that Mary and Martha have sent a note, and Jesus on purpose delays. And again, like we've been singing and like we've been talking about, Jesus says, Lazarus is only sleeping. This will not end in death. And finally, his disciples go, well, if he's sleeping, Lord, he'll get better. And he goes, okay, fine, I'm going to tell you guys. He's dead. He's dead. I'll speak your language. The heavenly language is he's sleeping, but I'll speak your language. He's dead. He's not dead. He's just mostly dead. Does everybody catch that one in? Yes, right? I love that. That just like, that works. That works for my brain. Anyway, and so he's just mostly dead. And so Jesus finally waits. He delays. And he said, and scripture says this. Scripture says this. He says, because Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he delayed. Have you ever looked at that? You need to read that. Read that story. I have read it so many times. God has made me camp in John for like almost 2 years. Because he loved them, he delayed. I don't always see God's love in his delays. Do you? I can't pronounce that word that Nathan said. What is it? Thank you. Liminal. Sorry, Nathan. I loved it, though. I sent it to my kids already. This is amazing. But liminal space. The pause is not the same as, you know, the end of the sentence. It's not the period. It's just a pause. Because I love you, I'm doing something. And God's going to be glorified by the pause. I'm in a pause. I have lots of pauses. I want God to push play, and it's a pause, and something's going on under the surface, and Jesus is at work. And so Martha rushes out. I love this because God gave me a revelation about prayer through Mary and Martha too. Martha represents in my life my spiritual disciplines. Martha ran out to meet Jesus, and what Dave said is true. Keep doing what you don't want to do. When you don't feel like praying, when you don't feel like praising, when you don't feel like going, when you don't feel like being in community with other believers, keep going. You need them. And Martha, the discipline, she ran out. She ran to Jesus. And she said, Lord, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. But I love what she says next. She says, but even now. Oh, that faith in her. Even now, God, we'll do whatever you ask. Even now. And Jesus goes on then in that moment and he says this, and this really gripped my heart. He said, Martha, and he said, he'll rise again. And she says, I know he'll rise again at the end when everybody else does. And he goes, no. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I am right now in the pause. I am in the pause. Even now, I am is at work. I am the resurrection and the life. Whether you see it or not, I am. This is our Jesus. This is our Savior. This is our King. He's still on the throne. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he makes a distinction that's very interesting. He said, he who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. Dave talked about that. He talked about those that they go to, you know, they still believe, but their life, now listen to the next part. And then he says, and he who lives in and believes in me will never die. What? We're all going to die. Yes, we are, but spiritually, for the believer who stays attuned, connected, abiding in God, you don't have to die. When God, when life or whatever happens and the pause button is pushed, you don't have to die. You don't have to crumble. You don't have to be shattered. You don't have to be broken because you're in a realm with the eagles. You're soaring over it all. You see what he said. God has helped, and you're living out of the promise of God. You're living out of something that he said it was done, and it's done. And for you, for me, that's what God wants us to know. The NIV says something so cool. It says, live by believing. For those who live by believing. Let's live by believing. What are you believing? It's been said so many times here at camp already, but we're going to just put it on some more because God really wants us to get it. What are you believing? What am I believing? What are the promises God has given you? What has He said is for you? What has He promised you? Dig out those prophetic words. Remember the goodness of the Lord. What has God already done for you? Who was it that said, go write things down, take time? Was it Frank? Go write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Make the vision plain. What has God said? God hasn't changed His mind. God hasn't changed His mind. There was a prophetic word I think I was supposed to give last night, but I didn't. And God had actually given it to me the night before. I'm just going to quickly say it to you. I saw a patch. I'm a farmer's daughter. And I saw a patch of very hard ground. It looked like clay. It looked so dry. I remember looking in my spirit. I just could see it. And I went, whoa. And you know what I heard the Lord say? That is really good soil. What? That is really good soil. But then I saw He went out with it and He plowed it. Then He went out and He seeded it. Then He went and He turned the sprinklers on. And He said, when I see soil, I don't see something that's too hard and too dry. He said, I see what I can do. I see what I can do. Can you and I live by believing? I want to live by believing. God's friends live by believing. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We know the rest of this story, and if you don't, please just go read it. John 11. Then we move on to John 12. And it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead by that time, and of course there's tons of God stuff in all that story, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Now let's listen to what the siblings and the family are doing. It says, Martha served. It says, Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Just being with Jesus. Just being. And Mary, of course, anoints Jesus with extravagant, beautiful perfume that cost her so much. That's supposed to be all that in all of us. We serve. We are present to His presence. And we give Him our extravagant worship. And then in John 12, 9 through 11, it says this, and I love this. Again, the dude had no lines. He had no lines. But we talk about his story all the time. We marvel at what God did. It says, people flocked to see Jesus and Lazarus. He got famous. The man Jesus had raised from the dead, they actually wanted to kill him too then. Anyway, for it was because of him, Lazarus, that many of the people had deserted the chief priests and their beliefs and had believed in Jesus. Because of Lazarus. Because of this man who loved being with his Savior and who apparently his Savior loved being with him. God doesn't see our challenges like we do. Even now, the faith of Martha, even now, He is the resurrection and the life. The world is waiting desperately for the sons and daughters of God to live by believing, to be the friends of God who believe Him and become His friends. And every day they are spending time just present to His presence, aware of who He is, aware that He is faithful, living by believing. God has. Past tense. God has helped. We sing it. We talk it. Let's live it. I just want to pray for you because you can all respond to something that, you know, you heard right now. So you know what that is. And so let's just close our eyes. If you need to respond to the being and you're a busy brain person like me and you're full of anxiety and all that jazz, or if you're struggling and you're saying, Jesus, I want to be a believer that is present to your presence all the time. I want to live by believing. Live by believing. I want to trust that what you've promised me, you're going to accomplish. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Father, I bless my brothers and sisters with the grace of God that each one needs right now to receive the truth. I pray it would go deep. And I bind the enemy who try to steal the seeds right now. I bind you and I tell you to be quiet and be gone. And Jesus, I pray you would teach each one of us how to be still before you and learn to listen. Learn to listen. Learn to just be at peace inside, to rest and to be present. So that, Father, when we do, it's not if, when we go through the pauses, when we go through the times where it looks like death is happening, we can believe, Lord, that it's just sleeping. And you're healing and working and doing stuff under the soil and in the stuff. While there's that pause, God, you're at work. And we're going to believe that it is done. It's already done. You're going to do what you promised. And that we would submit the timelines to you and the hows to you. And we would give ourselves fully to you. Jesus, the best thing we can do for our kids, the best thing we can do for this world is to be a people that are running fully engaged with your heart, fully in love with you, Jesus. Living by believing every moment of every day, saying your name in the middle of the day, not just in a prayer time in the morning or at night, but saying your name, closing our eyes, present to your presence. That's what I pray for this network, this family of believers, God. Pour out your spirit that we would be the friends of God who believe. We trust you now for this work, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.